Chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishing.
Verse 19 says, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him, and going on from there, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And then in verse 22, and they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. Tonight, I'm going to do something a little different. I had a sermon that I had prepared for tonight, and I was out in the office this afternoon, and I was looking through my sermons on the computer, and I saw a folder there in my computer that was titled Jay's Sermons, and I want to read for you tonight, and I'm not a very good reader, but I want to read you this sermon that Jay had written and preached. He preached at Independence, December the 5th of 2010, and then he preached at Pleasant Hill the day after Christmas of that same year, December the 26th of 2010. Started off by saying, can you remember a time in your life when you really got excited? Think about it for just a minute. A time in your life when you really got excited. He had a few examples written down here. He had Christmas being an example. As a young person, you get excited about Christmas. He had your birthday, sporting events, and other things that we think about that really gets us excited, and we can't wait for it to get here. He went on to say a few months back, and this would be Jeff Brown's two boys. They would come over our house at Trenton sometimes and fish out of our lake or our pond we had there. He said a few months back, Lane and Justin came fishing over the house. I remember looking out the window when Justin caught a fish, and he was so excited. He was just shaking all over. It made me think about my first fish I ever caught. I can remember when we got a boat when I was younger, we went fishing and fished all day long. Nobody caught a fish the whole day. We thought about leaving, and I started reeling in my pole so we could leave, and I started yelling, I got one. I was so excited I almost fell out of the boat. After I calmed down, Dad helped me get the fish in the boat. I was all smiles for the rest of the day, and at the end of the day, he said, this was Jay's side of this story. At the end of the day, I was the only one that caught a fish. We find ourselves excited over things in this life. But then he asked a question in the sermon. It made me think when I was reading and thinking about the lesson tonight. It made me change what I wanted to talk about tonight, because it goes somewhat with what we've been talking about on Sunday morning, or David's mentioned a few times, and Steve on Wednesday night. The question he asked was this: can we be excited about being a Christian and being fishers of men? The Lord told his disciples to follow him, and he would make them fishers of men. Matthew 4 and verse 19, which we just read, and it said to repeat, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Tonight, he said, I want to challenge ourselves to be excited about the opportunities we have to spread the gospel of Christ. To do this, we want to spell a word. He wanted to spell a word so everyone could remember how important it was that we be fishers of men. He had 4 points, and he simply spelt the word fish. Fish. So the first point tonight starts with the letter F, and he had there being faith. If we want to be fishers of men, then we've got to have a faith. And he said faith in the Lord. The first thing we need to have is faith in the Lord, and not just any faith. He said not just I believe in God, but a strong faith where people can see our lives and our every action. And our actions and our lives show just exactly how much faith that we have. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 gives us a definition of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We need a strong faith, he went on to talk about, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That faith that drives us to stand, that faith to drive us to live our life by our actions. Now, fortunately, so far, none of us have been tortured for being a Christian. None of us have been put out in the street or been threatened to be thrown into a fiery furnace. But if obstacles got between us and God, would we have the faith to make this statement? Our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us. He may choose not to, but my faith stands with God. Second thing he said, and that would be the letter I. I stands for intelligence in the Bible. Knowledge goes hand in hand with faith. Our faith will grow as our knowledge grows. And we all know that. We all know that the more we study the Bible, the more that we really get into the Scriptures and we try to understand them more, the more our faith grows indeed. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to have knowledge of the Word of God. If we don't understand what the Word says, how can we teach others? Mark 16 and verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We must teach others what the gospel says. And then thirdly is S. He said we have to shine in the world. When our faith and knowledge grows stronger, our lights will burn brighter and brighter. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We can be a good Christian example when our light is shining bright so those in darkness can see. Paul told Timothy this when he was talking to him about being an example. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, "Not to let any man despise his youth, but be an example." And that's a challenge for each one of us as we think about being fishers of men. We've got to live our lives in such a way that light is shining around about us. We can't very well talk about not cussing if we go out and cuss. We can't talk about someone attending worship services if we do not attend ourselves. And then fourth, the letter H. He said that's the hope of heaven. And that tied his word together, that of fish, the hope of heaven that he had in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." He went on to talk about how this hope gives us as Christians the patience to wait. A lot of times in our life we get uneasy about things. We want to be cured. We have a problem. We want it to go away. We want, as he started his sermon saying, Christmas, birthday, sporting events, all the different things that play a part in that, we want them to hurry up and get here. Over and over and over again in Jay's 7 years of battle with his cancer, he prayed and I prayed and Wendy prayed and all of you prayed that this cancer would go away. I remember on one occasion, Jay looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, "Daddy, I just want to be normal. I just want to be normal." I thought about that today when I was reading this sermon, because the hope gives Christians patience. And over the years that passed by with Jay fighting cancer, he developed a great deal of patience. And we have to have patience today to wait on the Lord's second coming. And in doing that, we need to be teaching others while we wait. He finished by saying, please turn to John 14, verses 1 through 3. This passage keeps me going. This is where the Christian hope rests. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Each one of us today needs to be fishers of men. Proverbs 11 and verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. If we do not win souls to Christ, or if men will not come to Jesus, then their souls are in danger of everlasting destruction. Souls will be eternally lost without the gospel, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Let each one of us seek to do God's will. God loved us so much that he gave his only son to die on the cross for our sins, John 3 and verse 16. Christ came to save the lost. Luke 19 and verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, let us all be fishers of men. No one should be lost in hell. God has done too much to save us. The Lord has prepared a place for us. Have we done our part to be with him in heaven? If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, please come now while together we stand and sing.